Hi there, and welcome to session 26 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and today is the day that I take your questions. Now, this week we have a diverse amount of questions, but the thing is that they're common questions I've frequently had listeners ask. I think you're going to be blown away by some of the interesting information that you're going to learn today. A million thanks to everyone who submitted, but due to time limitations, I can only take just a few questions. But if your question isn't answered today, rest assured that I've taken note and I'll try to answer them in our next episode. Just as a reminder, if you want to submit a question, you can shoot me an email at editor@thefrugalchicken.com or contact me over social media. You can find me on Facebook at thefrugalchicken.com/Facebook or on Twitter at thefrugalchicken.com/Twitter. So our first question today is about blood spots, and the listener wanted to know what a blood spot is and what it means. Now, a blood spot is the terminology for those tiny spots of blood that you might see in your eggs after cracking them open. Now, luckily, these blood spots aren't a cause for concern, and they can happen in any egg, whether it's farm fresh or it's from the grocery store. Now, according to theincredibleegg.org, these spots are a normal occurrence that really shouldn't worry you too much. They're caused when a blood vessel on the yolk's surface ruptures while the egg is forming. It can also happen when a blood vessel ruptures in the wall of the oviduct where the egg is making its journey through the oviduct. Now, the important thing to keep in mind about blood spots is that they don't mean that the egg was fertilized, and in fact, the two have nothing to do with each other. The way that you tell if an egg is fertilized is completely different than a blood spot. They're two completely different methods, okay? So typically when it comes to store-bought eggs, you won't see many blood spots, and that's because industrial egg farms handle the eggs to make sure that they're up to industry standards, but every so often one does slip through, and that's why you sometimes see them in store-bought eggs. Now, when it comes to farm-fresh eggs, on the other hand, you know, most of us don't spend our time candling eggs before we eat them. You know, I don't. So you're going to see more instances of blood spots simply because of that. Now, if it bothers you, you can candle your eggs for the blood spot, but it's not really necessary. Now, as far as your hen's health goes, blood spots aren't usually a big deal. If you have a hen that does it all the time, then you might want to consider taking her to an avian vet. But if you just get the occasional blood spot, then that's just part of farm living, and that's just how it's going to be. You know, chickens are live animals, and sometimes weird things are just going to happen, and that's just part of the fun of keeping them. Now, from a nutritional standpoint, eggs with blood spots are perfectly fine to eat, and if you want, you can just remove the blood spot before cooking them. Honestly, you know, the blood spots have never, you know, bothered me personally. You can just scramble them up and, you know, eat them that way, and, you know, you'll be fine. So that's the deal with blood spots, and now that's pretty interesting, isn't it? So our next question is from a listener who is new to chickens and isn't sure how many they should get to start out with. Now, I would recommend starting out with at least 2 chickens. If you're brand new to chickens and you don't have an existing flock, start out with at least 2, but 4 or 5 is a good number to shoot for, and you definitely do not want to start out with just 1. So chickens are social animals, and they find protection and comfort in numbers. So just getting 1 chicken is actually a pretty bad idea unless you're willing to put a lot of time and effort into being its flock mate and reassuring it and offering it protection. So 2 chickens really is the minimum number that you should get. Now, an interesting fact is that during World War II, the U.S. government actually encouraged people to raise chickens in their backyard, pretty different than today. And there's a pamphlet from the era that floats around the internet, and that pamphlet says that for every family member, you should have 2 chickens to make sure that there's enough eggs for everyone. So the point being is that if you're getting chickens for their eggs, then that old-timey rule gives you a good idea of how many chickens you should buy in order to keep your entire family in eggs. So, of course, not everyone wants or needs a ton of chickens, but do bear in mind that chickens lay an egg every 26 hours or so, and it's reasonable to expect 4 to 5 eggs from 1 chicken each week during peak season. I would also recommend, especially if you're new to chickens, to not get too many. It's very easy to collect chickens, ask me how I know, but it's also easy to get overwhelmed, especially when the feed bill comes due or there's a lot of work to do. You're going to have to feed them at least daily, if not twice a day. We do twice a day at my farm, and they are going to need constant access to water. You're also going to have to clean their coop and help them if they become injured. So it's very easy to get overwhelmed quickly if you collect a ton of chickens and you're just starting out. So again, for a first-time owner, I would still recommend getting about 5 or 6 to start and see how you like it. Now, our next question is about chicks, and the listener asked if they can put 3-day-old chicks with 2-week-old chicks. Now, the short answer to this question is yes, you can. There might be a little bit of a pecking order that they have to sort out in the beginning, but I've done this many times and I've not had an issue. I've even kept baby quail, which are very, very tiny compared to day-old chicks. You don't realize how small a quail is when it's born until you actually put it next to a day-old chick. And I've put them with 2-week-old chicks without an issue. Now, in that case, this particular quail was the only one to hatch, and he needed a buddy, since like chickens, quail shouldn't be kept alone. Now, if you're worried about putting day-old chicks with 2-week-old chicks, there's a couple things you can do. You can put the day-olds in the brooder at night when chickens are naturally quieter and easier to handle. Chickens are diurnal, and you know, when night rolls around, they tend to, you know, want to go to sleep, they get quiet, and that sort of thing. So sometimes putting the new chicks into the brooder at night helps cut down on any drama that might happen. Another option is to put the day-olds in the brooder and then begin feeding and watering everybody. Now, if you make a lot of noise, and I don't mean enough noise to really frighten them, but just enough to sort of startle them, then what will happen is it will cause everybody, the new ones and the old ones alike, to huddle together for protection. And this causes them to break the ice, so to speak. You know, it breaks the ice between the 2-week-olds and the day-olds. Now, because the chicks will look to each other for protection and guidance, it can actually reduce the chance of there being problems introducing new chicks to an established flock. So yes, you can easily introduce 3-day-old chicks to an established flock of 2-week-old chicks. I've done it many times and I've not had a problem with it. Chicks generally are, because they're not hormonal and they're not full grown and they're still trying to get used to living in the world, they're a lot easier to get along with than an established flock of hens who, you know, have the pecking order and are very set in their ways. So our next question is about eggs, and the listener wanted to know how they can feed eggs to their chickens. Now, when it comes to feeding eggs to your chickens, you can feed the egg itself, you can feed the shell, or you can feed both at the same time. You have a few options there, and each has its own benefits. Now, for the record, there's nothing wrong with feeding eggs back to your chickens, and you're not going to create suddenly these little cannibals. And I know that among people who just start, you know, keeping chickens for fun, they're very concerned about feeding the eggs back to chickens because they're afraid it's cannibalism. And the bottom line is that it's just not. Now, first off, chickens, given the opportunity, are actually cannibalistic, okay? And I'm sorry if that, you know, bursts some bubbles, but, you know, that's just the bottom line. Chickens, given the opportunity, will become cannibalistic. One example from our farm, during one memorable instance, we had a number of 4-month-old chicks, you know, pullets and cockerels, that were feathered out enough to go into the coop, and we put them in there. And in the middle of the night, something got into the coop, most likely a possum, and I know this because of what I found the next day. They were completely ripped apart, and possums, that's kind of like their calling card. And possums are just generally an issue in our area. So anyway, so I go into the coop and everybody's ripped apart. So obviously, since it was the morning, this was the first time I'd seen this. But as I opened up the door and I, you know, saw the big mess in there, some of my pullets, the ones that had survived the night, were actually feasting on their friends. And yeah, that's really gross, trust me. But the point of the story is that chickens naturally are opportunistic eaters. And, you know, they can be cannibalistic given the opportunity. And you won't suddenly cause your hens to turn into cannibals by feeding them eggs. You know, eggs aren't chickens in the first place. They're just the product of a chicken. You know, they have to go through a fertilization process and an incubation process in order to actually turn into chickens. So feeding the eggs to your chickens is not going to turn them into cannibals. Now, eggs are high in protein, so feeding them to your hens if you want is actually a good idea. I advise you to cook them, and scrambling them is perfectly fine. And because things like salmonella and E. coli can be in their eggs, if you do feed them to your chickens raw, there's a chance that they might reacquire the pathogens that might already be in the eggs. So cooking the eggs is always a very good idea. Now, of course, hens will eat raw eggs that have broken in the coop, and you can't avoid that, but you can avoid feeding them raw eggs. So whenever possible, just offer them cooked eggs. Don't put anything else in the scrambled eggs, things like salt, onions, etc. Just give them plain scrambled eggs. Those are fine, with the exception of including the eggshells in the scrambled eggs if you want. Some people like to crush the eggshells and then cook them with the eggs, and that is okay. But putting other food stuff such as salt and stuff like that is a bad idea. Now, when it comes to eggshells and feeding them to your chickens, you should toast them first and then crush them largely for the same reason that you could cook the eggs, and that's to reduce the chances that your hens will have pathogens reintroduced into their systems. Now, that's not the only reason, however, and some may say that this is an old wives' tale, but I do believe personally that this is true. In my experience, it's not a good idea to feed hens raw eggshells because this is when they might start to eat their own eggs. And that's not to say that every hen out there will turn into an egg eater if she eats raw eggshells, but I do believe, and it's been my experience, that if your hen is predisposed to eating her own eggs for whatever reason, she runs a greater risk of doing so if she regularly eats raw eggshells. She eats one, she starts to get the idea, and you know it kind of just goes downhill from there. So just simply toast the eggshells and then offer them to your chickens. And this is actually also a great way to save a little bit of money on oyster shells, for example. And you can also save a little bit of money on feed by feeding them scrambled eggs. Now, next on our list is a question about roosters. And the question is, what is a capon? So if you don't know what this is, a capon is a cockerel or rooster that's been castrated to improve the quality of its meat. So essentially, we're talking about a neutered rooster. While improving the quality of the meat is one benefit, because the testes have been removed, the rooster also has limited sexual desires, and so another benefit is it makes them easier to handle, because there's a lot less testosterone, right? Now, the meat is said to be more moist, tender, and flavorful than that of a rooster or a hen, and this is because the capon hasn't been running around as much with his girls, so his meat is less stringy and tough, and that can actually be an issue with roosters. So as the rooster goes around, you know, with his hens hunting and pecking and looking for food and protecting them, he works his muscles, which in turn makes the meat tough. To get the full effect of caponizing a rooster, it needs to be done before they hit sexual maturity, usually in just the first few weeks of its life. So around 8 weeks or so, people might caponize their roosters. Now, according to the United States Department of Agriculture, the practice of turning a rooster into a capon has existed for centuries in places as diverse as ancient China and in Europe, and there's evidence that even during the Greek and Roman empires, the practice of neutering roosters existed. Not only that, but Shakespeare also mentions capons in his play As You Like It, so we have a good idea that it was also around during the Tudor reign. Today, it's still popular in Europe, particularly in France and in Spain. In the U.S., capons are relatively rare in the meat industry, and that's because we largely depend on Cornish crosses, which are ready for harvest long before they reach sexual maturity. And Cornish crosses are also not the type of chickens that run around. They get very big very quickly, so their meat doesn't get tough and stringy because usually they don't want to run around because they're so big. You know, they're like these big, obese birds. Now, before we get into a discussion about how to turn your rooster into a capon, I gotta say, I strongly advise you to not do this yourself. In most cases, it's not necessary. But if you feel that you must neuter your rooster, take them to a very experienced poultry vet who knows what they're doing. This is a surgical removal and should never be attempted by an amateur. Just for the record, I've never caponized a rooster and I never plan to. Now, the testes are near the spine of the rooster, so to remove them, and bear in mind, I'm not an expert at this, so take this just as general information, what happens is an incision is made in the flesh until the testes can be reached. They're removed, and then the animal is stitched up. So I've seen surgeries where the animal is awake, and I've seen ones where the chicken is put under. And again, I really, really don't recommend doing this at home, but it is interesting to know about. And I'll put a link in the show notes where you can see a video of the surgery itself being performed. Now, for full warning, the video is graphic and it's chock full of all kinds of unsanitary practices that actually I'm embarrassed that, you know, to be very strongly worded about this, I'm embarrassed that anybody would actually put this up on YouTube with how unsanitary the practices are in this video, but hopefully it will deter you from ever considering doing this surgery. And again, you can find the URL for that video at thefrugalchicken.com/podcast26. That's podcast with the numbers 2 and 6, okay? So that's this week's podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. Now, if you're new to chickens, or maybe you're an old hand and you want to do something fun, I have a 15-day boot camp coming up called the Healthy Coop Boot Camp. You can sign up at healthycoopbootcamp.com, and each day you'll get an email with a video chock full of information you need to know to raise happy, healthy chickens. If you're not sure what to do with chicks when you get them home, or when to switch feeds, or if you're interested in raising chickens naturally with things like herbs, then my boot camp is for you. My Healthy Coop Bootcamp is completely free, and again, that URL is healthycoopbootcamp.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.